Please enter your PIN followed by pound.
Everyone just heard that. Please enter your PIN.
Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
Hey, welcome to our Monday night PBS conference call. This is Winfrey and Terry Brown. Are you there, Terry?
I'm here. Hello.
And those of you that are checking in, you're muted. We can't hear you. This is an exercise in interdimensional connection. This is a fairly unusual thing we're doing on these calls. And anyone that's listening for the first time should ramp up and prove it to themselves, because we don't make any claims that we're doing anything, except during the course of these calls, aside from whatever I say, we have communications with voices coming through Terry, intelligence coming through Terry, that explains themselves to be a group soul consciousness. And if you're like me, when I heard the idea of group soul consciousness, I would say, what does that mean? And this has been going on for a number of years, and I've kind of got a little clue, a little more clue than I did way back when, about what that means. And according to our communications, we who are embodied on Earth are kind of in a prison, some of us. We're in a state of contraction, but we don't realize it because it's ordinary. So we live our lives in states of unawareness, and we've created our reality, our idea of reality, from various aspects of what could be called consensus reality, from the news, from the way we were brought up, by the standards of society, by the people that are famous who become our heroes. And to some degree or another, it's all programmed. Programmed sometimes by intent, sometimes by happenstance. But the reality system that's presented to us in this realm is defective. It's incomplete. It works at the level that it works on, but there's great areas where it doesn't work, where it stops. And one of the worst aspects of the reality that's presented to us in this realm is that we feel separated from each other. And we feel oftentimes alone and isolated. And we participate in the illusion that who we are is what we have. What we have in material goods, what we have in terms of family, what we have in terms of reputation, what we have in terms of worldly power. And if we don't have a bunch of those things, we tend to feel worthless and inadequate, and that we're meant to have them. And you can go through your whole lifetime and feel that way. And when you die, apparently, that idea of that you are meant to have all these things travels with you, and so come back into this realm for another shot, and maybe you'll get it better. And then...
all callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
If you do happen to get it better, and you start get some of those things that you didn't get in the past life, since you're not running the awareness that we're all part of each other, then you get arrogant. You think you're superior to other people. And you live your life feeling that way. And when you die, you come back again, and you're sometimes... Now, I don't understand how this part works, although I've read it enough times. There's a part of you that's higher than this realm, sometimes referred to as your high self. And on some level, your high self programs, interfaces with events that transpire for you. And it's, to some extent, programming your life so that you have the experiences for maximum growth while you go through a lifetime. Because your high self is attempting to give you the experiences so that you can have an awareness of the fact, the conscious awareness, that we're part of each other. And there's one energy that runs through everything. Now, for some people, their high selves are part of the Ra group. That's been said. And that you're part of the Ra group, your high self is part of the Ra group. So it's directing your life as part of the Ra group. Now, maybe other people have other high selves. That's a good thing. We're going to ask questions about that tonight to see how that works. Because we announced that we were going to talk about the difference between the Elohim group and the Ra group. And I can share my personal experiences there in the sense that I think I can identify the frequencies of both groups when they're present. The Ra group, the individual Ra group entities, are more localized. And some time ago, when Terry and I were in, let me see where we were. We were in, I can't remember the name of the town. It was in Los Angeles area. And we had a little room in somebody's house. And we were actually doing the sessions that created the Creator God book in that room. And at that time that we created that book, no one was paying attention to us. And there was no, when we talked about it, people thought we were nuts. And I was halfway thinking we were nuts, but I said, just in case they are who they say they are, let me ask questions of a universal concern and see how they answer. And that's how that book got started, where we asked all those questions. If you don't have that book, you can get it for free at creatorgodbook.com. And it's chock full of conversations with the Elohim group. And at that time, we had communicated with the Ra group, but never were the two communicating with us together. We communicated with the Ra group. Occasionally, they would come through and say, "I am Ra." I don't think I ever asked for them in particular, but they would show up for particular kinds of questions or issues. And we were having this conversation with the Elohim group, and I had read that the way interdimensional sources manifest in this realm, or one of the ways, was through orbs. Have you guys seen pictures of orbs? You can't often see them with your naked eye, as far as I know, or most people can't, but they show up in digital camera pictures that look like circles, spheres, floating around things. And there's that one picture of me where there is this blue sphere on my elbow, which I put out. And I'm talking to the Elohim, and I say, can you guys project an orb into this room so I can see it? And the answer was really quite amazing, because what they said, there already was an orb in the room, except it went up into the sky and down into the earth. It was so big that we couldn't see it. And I started to then feel the energy, and I said, I think I can feel that. And as you know, when we do our grid healings on Sunday, we do an exercise where we project ourselves into that field, and many people can feel a great sense of expansion. So they said the Ra group would project themselves into smaller spheres, and the Elohim group would be a huge sphere that was so big you couldn't see the edges of it. So I started to get the beginnings of the understanding of how these two groups work. Now, there were a number of questions that I've asked. I asked the Elohim when I was first talking to them through Daphne. I said, how do you work with this realm? And they said, let me see, I've got the book here. If it doesn't take me too long to find it, I won't paraphrase it. I will just meet the Elohim. Who are the Elohim, and why are they connected with the evolution of the human race? We are a soul group whose purpose is to bring life and life forms to planets such as Earth. We then work with the life forms in the hope that they will align themselves with higher interdimensional energies, bringing heaven into the third dimension, transmuting third dimensional experiences into a fruitful playing ground for learning the lessons of love, and bringing wiser entities back into the fourth and fifth dimensions. And this was through Terry. Why doesn't the origination of life start out in a higher dimension instead of going through a dimension which is so difficult and challenging? And they said, life starts out beyond the dimensions. Dimensions are a limiting factor, a focusing mechanism for life. Each dimension has its own lessons. The third dimension is a lesson in limitation, against odds, to temper and strengthen a soul. Well, I remember reading those answers, and I said, geez, if they're fake, they're pretty good, because they're answering right to the question with the sense of confidence that they understand all of this. And of course, those of you that have been listening on the calls regularly know that we have expanded on all of these things many, many times with further questions, and we're going to do that tonight. In another chapter, I said, how can one really no one is having a connection with an interdimensional source as with the Elohim? What are the physical signals and evidence that would confirm that one is having a connection? there can be a light appearing to you, surrounding and providing a loving space around you. It's a love light surrounding that you can sense. That is one of the first signs of connection. If you are directed to the light, an answer may form in your mind as if a thought. You must use discernment in accepting an answer. As we've learned, all this stuff with channeling is very tricky because once you start trying to get messages from other realms, once you choose to want to do that, which people are tempted to do when they hear this kind of stuff that we're doing, it is very easy to get a negative source. And it's very tricky figuring out that they're a negative source. If an answer does, if an answer does not fit your question or fit your sense of what is right, you may have been contacted by a negative source that has intercepted the connection line. Do not ever pursue this. Reset and connect to the Elohim source or to the Ra source. The thought will have a resonance within you of correctness. Do not accept an answer unless it resonates as a correct and informative answer. Now, I'll tell you a story, an interesting story of something that happened to me about a month ago. And that is, I live in Sedona, and Sedona is filled with people that do readings. And I happened to wander into this craft show. And somebody pulled me over and said, "Do you want to get a reading? Get a reading, get a reading." And usually I say no. But I said yes. I went in and I sat down. And these people said they were able to bring forth my guides and that I could get messages from them. And so would I like to ask questions? So I called in a lot of protection to myself, and I asked a question, and it seemed like a really wise answer. And then I asked another question, and it seemed like a wise answer. And and I talked about myself, and they were very intrigued with my whole story. And there was a potential to get together and work to do something together. And I let it sit with myself. And then I actually did a session with Terry, and I asked a question about it because I wanted to get our source's take on it. And what they said was that those people were very nice people and that they were giving people their information from their guides, so to speak. Now, a lot of people talk about guides and contacting your guides and that we all have guides. And what they said next through Terry was that, well, in my case, because my guides are connected with the Ra group, that was who was giving me information through these people. But not everybody has guides that are positive. So they would give people information based on their guides. And, of course, it's tricky because guides don't necessarily. If you have a positive outlook and you have a positive self-image for yourself, but you're connected to, shall we say, dark energies or compromised energies or past life connections with negative things, you can easily have quote-unquote guides that are not of the positive that could easily trick you. And where you ask, you know, you learn to depend on them, and they're not necessarily in the highest good of your soul evolution. So when you're getting messages from other realms, you must use the utmost of discernment. And it's one of the reasons why I tell people, don't believe what we say on these calls. check it out for yourself. I was very nervous about doing something like this publicly with Terry for a long, long time. And because we can't take anything back that we do in a public way. And if we give misdirection, it's out there, it's done. And it was only after very careful testing of doing a little bit, trying something and feeling how it felt. And Terry was very shy. And it's like, could we do this publicly and be sure that it was positive, that it never lost its positive aspect? So as we've learned about these two group souls, the Elohim group, and they're as real as you and I. That's the thing about it. Just because they're invisible, just because we can't see them, just because they're energy, they're real. They're not woo-woo, they're real. And that they both function differently. Now, we're going to ask questions about this, but it seems to me that the Ra group works much closer with this realm. For example, according to the Wilcock Rucker channelings, we're having this division of souls right now. It's taking place over the next so many years. They say it's up till 2017, and the chances are, we'll ask if that's still the case. The chances are that if people haven't gone to one side or the other, then it's kind of, at that point, it's a done deal. What does that mean, one side or the other? This is something you can't do with your conscious mind. You can't say, I want to graduate this realm. I want to keep an open heart. It means you need to keep your heart open slightly more than half so that you fit, your energy field fits in this upgraded earth. And if it doesn't fit, in other words, you don't meet that criteria, you start repeat this density on another planet in another star system. And supposedly, it's the Ra group that moves your soul from one planet to another. When I asked the question, they said, how does this work? They said, it's like just moving a bunch of cut-out paper dolls from Earth, starting somewhere else. And then they said, millions of years, possibly, of evolution somewhere else. Maybe it's less than that. But it's not like you move into a third density planet that is already functioning and working. It's like perhaps people are coming in and starting as apes or starting as a more primordial form of life, and that life has to evolve until the full soul energy can inhabit a being and work out their destiny in a new time and place. And I don't know, I'm not sure of that, but since there's no time in reality, it doesn't matter. If I say millions of years, it seems like a long time. Now, it's a long time if you're laying in bed with a broken leg because it hurts. But the way it works is, as we all know, since we're a product of this realm, every lifetime we don't even remember. We come in and it's like we don't know we're carrying the soul stream. We don't know that we're reincarnating. We discover ourselves in this realm, and we have to create and figure out a way to make the best of it. And the best case scenario is that you get some soul growth while you're here, that you get more expansive. And the very best scenario is that you graduate. Now, you know, when you think of the word graduation, you think it's an honor. It's like you want to be at the top of the hierarchy, and you want to graduate. The truth of the matter is, are you ready to give up your attachment to life in this realm? Because if you're not, you've got to continue. Now, of course, it's more complicated because there's division of souls. If you give up your attachment to life in this realm, the indication is that you'll have life in the next realm, in the fourth density. And this is all guided by these soul groups, in particular, the Ra group. Now, oftentimes we don't give the Ra group as much, how would I say it, talk space. Pardon me?
Airtime
is the Elohim group, although they're both there. And those of you that have listened to these calls know there have been some miraculous calls here where, you know, part of the Ra group did come in, talked about their time in Egypt. The Ra group has worked, you know, involved itself in a very close way with this realm. They've been involved. They've taken bodies here. They've worked with people. Our information is the Ra group was very much connected with Jesus. And the Elohim may have worked with that, but I think it was the Ra group's creation. They actually make plans over thousands of years for things to manifest. So as I said in emailing today, this is a very unusual thing we're doing in integrating and learning about both group souls, not as something scholarly, but being able to talk to them directly right here on the call. And I want to mention that as some of you have learned, this has not been easy to share with other people. The people that have found us, it's kind of just been through hook and crook, synchronicity, stumbling, clicking on a link on the internet, and they start paying attention, and over a period of months, suddenly something clicks, and they get a great affinity. And if they talk to someone else about it, they think they're a nutcase. It's so far out. So recently I wrote something, and my friend Judith has been coming in on these calls, helped edit it. She's a really good editor, really smart. And we came up with something really good. And it's a little 5-page PDF with links to the things we're doing, things to Message a Day, the Wind Channel, free books, everything. This, it was designed to be an introduction. And if any of you want to download it, share it with anyone, I'd like to see how it works. You can get it at winintro.messageaday.net. winintro.messageaday.net. Because it's part of my constant effort to say, how do we get this to reach more people? Knowing that there's a lot of people that would change their lives if they found it. But how do they find it? How does somebody find something like this? Well, that, you know, maybe people will share this, so read it. And if, you know, you should share it because you move to. Because if it doesn't feel right, don't share it. But this is a test. Maybe we can come up with something that'll go viral. I mean, they certainly want me to do that. They constantly tell me, get this out. And so, winintro.messageaday.net. And check it out. Give me comments on it. But imagine if you sent that to somebody you know, how they might respond to it. Would you be embarrassed? Would they think you're a nutcase? I tried to write it in such a way that somebody that heard nothing about this work could read it and be curious. That was the goal. So check it out and see what you think. And Terry, from your human side, is there anything you want to comment on all of this?
Well, it was really interesting when we were living in that room in
La Crescenta. That was La Crescenta.
La Crescenta. Because we would be talking to the Elohim, and then you were saying things about the Ra group. And then the Ra group came in, and we were talking to them, and then the Elohim group came in and said they needed to come in to straighten out some of the things that you were saying or asking, or that the other group had misconceptions about the Elohim group. And then it ended up, they, outside of our influence, just got together and made a collaboration to work with us.
Right, right. Well, you know what? There is this representation, seeming representation from the Elohim group. I'll tell you one thing we picked up at that time, that from since the Elohim group, by and large, now they can correct me, I'm just going to tell you what it was looking like at the time. The Elohim group didn't have bodies and stayed as pure energy, and they said if they didn't do that, somebody had to hold the space in the center or the whole thing could fly off the handle. And so they've said that they look at us as a composite of geometrical frequencies, and that a human is a conglomerate of energies based on sacred geometry, and they can see all the energies that form us down the track. And I'm trying to express this in as accurate a term as possible, in terms of, but it's not easy to explain it. But there was a certain seeming detachment from the Elohim. They would say, from their point of view, does it matter if somebody graduates now or if they graduate 10,000 years from now? There's no time, so it doesn't make any difference. On the other hand, there was the idea from the Ra group's point of view, since they had bodies, since they had graduated from this realm, that they understood the pain of this realm from personal experience, which the Elohim didn't experience quite as well. For example, now, the Elohim group, they can project into this realm, and they can feel someone in this realm. They can feel pain, I'm sure, because if they go look at you, they're feeling your pain, they're connecting with it, and they feel it. But then it releases. It's not the same as having a bad life where you can't get out of it, you're stuck, and the people around you are suffering, and you're feeling unloved, and you're isolated, and you're alone, and you're going crazy, and then you come back and repeat that to fix it. So, you know, the sense was the Ra group had felt all these things and gone through them, and so they were making themselves available to remedy try to help this stuff, which why perhaps if Jesus was a creation of the Ra group, and I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, creation of, a co-creation, because I'm sure the being Jesus was part of the creation, part of the rock group, I think. Now, I'm not attached to being right on any of this. I can tell you we did do a channeling, and I said when Jesus said, Father, who answered him? And the answer was the rock group, okay? And that if you go through it, you'll see the connection where they were working to create Jesus in the lifetime of Akhenaten, and even probably in Rata, you know, to bring in a being that could fulfill prophecy that people would look towards, who could lift the vibration of the realm. But even Jesus knew it was going to get corrupted. He knew it. He knew that that couldn't be done without it being corrupted, which is why he said so many things about the devil, warning about the devil, projecting about those people will come in my name, but they're not really coming in my name. I don't have the quote, but beware, just because somebody uses the name Jesus doesn't, basically, they're not necessarily carrying the frequency of the law of one or the Christed energy. They're carrying a belief system, and, you know, it makes you more popular among certain people. If you say you're a Christian, you're easily accepted. And but it doesn't mean, there's one thing about being a Christian, which is like following a certain path, and another thing that is holding the Christed energy, which means holding the frequency of oneness, holding the frequency of the law of one. And it doesn't matter, even if you use a religion, it doesn't matter if other people are your religion or not, because they're all part of the frequency. When people start to identify their connection with God too strongly through their own religion, they're probably losing it a bit or a lot, okay? So I would assume the Elohim group and the Ra group have collaborated in history at different times. But I don't know. We can cover that. Anything else you want to share on this, Terry?
Well, it's been a tremendous expansion of my horizons to be able to bring forth the answers. Like, we used to be in the little room, and you would ask questions, and, like, do you like to be worshipped? And then they'd give an answer. And then when I'd come out of the channeling, it's like we'd be so tickled that this stuff was coming through. It's like, wow. So it's been a really good experience, an eye-opening experience.
I remember when I asked that question, it was really, I was like, quite frankly, I was saying, well, I'm going to make pretend they are who they say they are, because I wasn't quite believing it. But I said, if they are who they say they are, let's see how they handle these questions. And then I was quite amazed at the answers. There were a couple of times that happened with Daphne, where I said, well, how do you see us? How can you see us when there's so many billions of people? And they said, we can see the lights. When people penetrate the veil, they can see the penetration of the veil. And at that time, I didn't really understand what that meant. It made me think that, how do you penetrate the veil? How do you know when you penetrate the veil? All those questions were still to be revealed. So why don't we call in the light and ask some questions? We'll let them just take the floor and say whatever they want before we ask questions. Maybe they want to clarify some of the things we just talked about. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, each person on the replays, Terry and myself, and Daphne, and that any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the galaxy, center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy fields of the planet, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection amongst all of us present, while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we invite our sources to make themselves known and address the topic of the evening in any way they see fit.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is the 2nd of January 2012, and we are with you tonight, wherever you may be, or whenever you read a transcript, or whenever you listen to an audio. And we thank Bogdan and Gary and all of the volunteers that are working together to bring the information out. We are Ra. We are an administration group that helps to administrate the sector of this area and even broader. We work with administration of local planets and overseeing the energy transfers that exist in the sector. We have learned in past channeling to let the Elohim group speak for itself. As the Elohim has pointed out in the past, that we are carrying some of the frequencies we have learned by being in the third dimensional realms and working with them, which the Elohim have very much less in that factor of, they have very much less of the lower grounding frequencies that we have picked up by working in the third dimension. We shift gears. This is the Elohim group, and we realize the grammar is not adequate for a soul group in terms of we, she, he, and it, as we do not have sex, a sexual orientation of male or female, although we do have manifestations of some of the female energies, which are the higher frequencies. The lower frequencies tend to be more male by virtue of the frequency. We work with the higher aspects of love and light, and we maintain purity beyond the soul connections with the third dimension. We have merged into a loose group with the wild group, for the purposes of bringing through information that is much and always the same. And we have, by bringing through in connection with Ra Group, a bigger footprint, so to say. More frequencies are covered so that we, in combination with the Ra Group, are easier to spot or to tag into, to sense. There are certain ways one can sense our frequencies. We are very light, and one might feel an airy feeling, a light feeling, a more loving feeling, and like everything at that level is all right, no matter what is going on. There are some things that are difficult in the third dimension that we can help with. We can sense the light of the individual, particularly when the individual is passionate and is reaching out. We can see their light. It is like a physical light, although one would not be able to see it with their eyes so much. It is like an individual being able to see an aura. We can see the individual's aura and can see the intensity of the aura and can see and sense the intensity of the desire. We are touched by requests for fervently asked answers to prayers, and we help hold energy toward that being fulfilled, and lower levels often come in to help as we hold space for them. The angelic realm can come in and help move energies to bring about results in areas of prayer. Do you have questions?
Yes. Just to make for clarification, in the last part of what you were saying, was that the Elohim group explaining themselves, or was that still the Ra group?
This was the Elohim group. We are the Elohim group. As there was a transition in the middle of the broadcast where we switched.
Thank you. That's what I thought. I just wanted to clarify it, because when somebody's listening, it's subtle, and you didn't re-identify yourself. So, you know, one question would be, there's this idea that planets terraform themselves. David Wilcock has said, since that word, I haven't used it, but I have an idea of what it means, which is where a planet is being made ready for life forms. And when a planet is going through terraforming and you can clarify to make sure that that's true. Who is actually doing the terraforming? Is it the Ra group? Is it the Elohim group? Or is it a lower group, like the Anunnaki? A lower high group that's actually in bodies that has the ability to do that. Can you explain that?
Give us a moment. It is not our group, the Elohim, that we are not terraforming. It is lower groups that are terraforming and can be administrated by the Ra group. We let the Ra group speak for themselves in this manner, and we then transition to turn over the floor to the Ra group. We are management. This is the Ra group. This is Ra, and we are an administrative group that helps open the stargates for energies to begin to form and to then in the management of lower groups to begin to prepare a planet for life, to prepare the surface for life. It is a process that is considered natural. However, there is spirit guidance and participation at every level, and we and they, the lower groups, then work together to make ready for life forms to move into a sphere.
When you talk about lower groups, would they be lower spirit form groups, or would they be groups that have some manifestation of physicality, like an alien ET group, like the Pleiadians or the Arcturians or the Andromedans? What are the variations of the lower groups that are worked with? And this is taking place.
We look at the variations of life forms that work in this area. A number of them are bridges between manifest reality and spirit, and work to prepare the planets for life, but they are participatory in the process and are not like a gardener with a physical form that moves in and hoes a garden. They are participatory energy forms that wish to experience the essence of life flows and make in correlation with each other energies ready for the housing of life and the growing of life forms.
Thank you. When this takes place, is it done strictly through energetic interactions with a planet, or are there technological applications to create this terraforming?
It is energetic. We look at your question further. Technology is involved in a mathematical relationship it is brought together out of numerous energy complexes that result in life force being able to develop. It is not like a fractal or a computer that is programmed with artificial intelligence. It is a natural result of the interactions of intelligences working together.
Do you, when the rock group is doing this, do they do it independently, or do they collaborate with the Elohim on this kind of creation in the universe?
There is collaboration on all sides. We, the Elohim speaking now, when it is fitting for our energies to intersect, we are then summoned, or we are on duty to and where to become part of the process.
Thank you. In terms of original creation, it's our understanding that the Elohim was the original breakaway from what we call the one infinite creator, the first cause. At what point did the Ra group start to exist as an individual, separate consciousness? I.e., was it Elohim that came into this realm but got stuck and trapped and went through hundreds of thousands of years and then graduated to the Ra group? Or was the Ra group part of the original creation of a different frequency than the Elohim, or a subset that developed itself prior to there being a physical universe?
Thank you. the Elohim, we step aside and we let the world group answer. We came in at various points. This is Ra. We came in at various points. We are a lower subset of the Elohim that have come here to be with you. And we answer your questions based upon our memory and experience. And we came at various points in time where we became very focalized in the third density. And we were not satisfied with life in the third density for our continued growth. And we desire to help manage the area sector, and we were part of life that was unmanifested and at various points, different ones of us became manifested. And in the trajectory in the third dimension, our awareness peaked within that dimension framework, and we became more comfortable with that framework, and therefore we continue to work within the third dimensional framework in the area of administration. We turn it back over to the Elohim group. This is the Elohim, and we see ourselves as much lighter and higher in frequency and much more mobile, since we have not the connection via vibrating frequencies of pieces of manifestation, creating strings are not so much in our sphere. They are very fine and hold together via similar frequencies in the higher dimensions. We hold light and love as in a goal or an a homing area for individuals when they get weary of the lower dimensions. each according to their frequency and manifestation of their own place in creation. Do you have other questions to fill in the blanks?
Yes. According to the Carla Rucker channelings, the Ra group went through a series of lifetimes on Venus hundreds of thousands of years ago. And then there was a shift in that we are experiencing now. And I believe that a certain percentage of what was to become the Ra group ended up graduating the realm, and the rest had to repeat. Two questions. One is, did the Ra group, was that the entire Ra group on Venus, or was the Ra group also on other planets? And prior to Venus, were there other planets of evolution that the Ra group went through?
There was another group that helped the Ra group. Let me turn it over to the Ra group at this point. This is the Elohim. We remember destruction on Venus, and we left a major amount of us were on Venus, and we were counseled by another group, many of which joined the Ra group at a later time. The Ra group has within it individuals that have joined from other places, other galaxies, that it was felt they could help the Ra group and position themselves as part of the management within the Ra group. The Ra group did go out and solicit members of the group from other places, such as Andromeda, that we felt had an affinity for the work we were doing, and we got volunteers. So there is some intermixing there.
Will the Ra group administrate this realm forever, or is there a point where they move up to another level and another group would take its place?
We, as the Ra group, have members that wish to keep working in the realm and the jobs that they are working in, as they are very happy. We are very happy with our jobs. Other individuals are moving in their growth cycle back into the world that is, wherein they will then be part of the nomad or the area of all, which you can call it an area of all that is. From that point, they can impart wisdom to or not. They will not need to have manifestation, and they will have a choice in whether to exist or not. Some religions call this situation nirvana.
Thank you. In the population of Venus that didn't graduate, where did they end up?
Some of them became lower forms of Venus. Became other kinds of consciousnesses on Venus. And a small number always became separated out and are moving with Venus's atmosphere.
Thank you. I'm going to ask one more question, and we're going a little over, and I can tell Terry is getting a little strained on this. Thank you, by the way, so much for coming in. I can feel the energy, and I'm sure many other people can, and this is very great to get this understanding. And the question is, specifically in the future on our calls, are there areas that we can utilize the Ra group in ways that we haven't done thus far?
Thank you for your question. Many of us in the Ra group, this is Ra, many of us in the Ra group have a function that we perform in management, and give us a moment. It is true you give more airtime to the Elohim. We are available, however, when you have something that we can address. We are more localized, and therefore we do not have all of the healing abilities of the Elohim. We are, however, available as intermediaries between the angelic realm and your realm, although the angelic realm and many of the guides are always connected and available for help, helping also. We really have not totally answered your question. Perhaps we need to look at this farther after we have considered it.
Perhaps one time in the near future, we will just address some questions, particularly to the Ra group. It seems to me that in the reading of the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce and David Wilcox channelings, that the Ra group has a very deep understanding of the human process and how a human moves through and evolves himself on a very grounded wisdom level, and that it would be perhaps, since we have many people listening to these calls and people will be listening to the replays, to try to address some of those things from a very high level so people can process themselves. Am I correct when I say that?
So people can process themselves?
Yes, so that they'll have keys for their own self-processing.
Thank you. The channel is getting very tired, and we prefer to renew this conversation at another time.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here, and I've pushed the limits, and we went over 8 o'clock. We started late because I was talking, and we will now end this call, and I thank everybody who's on the line, people who are holding the energy, people that are volunteering, Terry, and particularly to our sources that are coming through and making themselves so available to share this understanding into this realm. And I'm going on.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.